It's wonderful to see all those children go downstairs, doesn't it? The parents sit back and relax and are able to listen. And reminds us of the ongoing work and the needs of Christian education. Now, I'm not going to give a Christian education speech this morning, even though that is an area of particular interest to me. We had a wonderful lesson on that about a month ago. But we do want you to pray for the children and pray for those who work with the children. It's a wonderful time of opportunity, an impressionable time, a time that will never happen again. This morning, talking about time, we are going to call this Lessons from the Watch. And most of you know the familiar passage in Ecclesiastes 3. Let me read the first 8 verses for you, reading out of the Living Bible. There is a right time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to destroy, a time to rebuild, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time for scattering stones, a time for gathering stones. And I'm told that this refers to road building, where they would take the stones away, smooth it, and put the stones back for the road, or perhaps for well building, where they would have to take the stones out and then line the well with stones. A time to hug, a time not to hug. That's one of my favorite ones, a time to hug. A time to find, a time to lose. A time for keeping, a time for throwing away. A time to tear, a time to repair, a time to be quiet, a time to speak up, a time for loving, a time for hating, a time for war, a time for peace. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are the creator of time. You are the finisher of time. You are the master of time. We pray that in the next few minutes, we may put our time to good use. And we may hear your words. And that this week, we may do something, some things differently, because we heard you. In Jesus' name, amen. Seeing the people here, I'm reminded of the old story that my father used to tell when he was up in the countryside, that on a snowy, snowy day, only one farmer came out. One farmer braved the howling snow and the winds, and the howling winds and the blowing snow, I guess that's what you'd call it. And only one farmer was there, and he said, "Well, shall I preach?" And the farmer said, "Oh, yeah, yeah. I always feed the animals." And so the preacher gave his normal 45-minute sermon. And it was a great sermon. It was a stemwinder, they call it. And the preacher got done, and he mopped his brow and put his handkerchief in his pocket and went down and shook the farmer's hand and then said, "How'd I do? How'd I do?" And the farmer looked at him and said, "Pastor, it was wonderful. But when I only have one cow, I don't throw in the whole hayloft." So I don't know if I have a hayloft for you or not. I am traditionally just go overtime. And I just have a terrible time getting done in time. I will try today, since the subject is on timing, I will try to get you out here on time. So if I've underprepared slightly, it'll be just slight compensation for all the times that I greatly overkept you. This passage about time reminds me of when at Rob's graduation this year, they had different people give conversation, give talk about what happened to them. And one girl chose to memorize this time. She got almost done, and she just got to that place where you could tell, you know, you started to sweat. You said, "Is she going to make it?" And no. And she got thinking, "I'm not going to make it." And she got more nervous, and she forgot her line. And she just couldn't get the final ones out. And, you know, those of us who had that experience, we all got red in the face and, you know, kept hoping that she'd remember. And, she did not, being a junior high girl, she just did not have the presence of mind to say, in conclusion, There is a time for remembering and a time for forgetting. But we're sure there is a time for everything. Brian's comments, I'm changing my life these days. I hope I'm going to change my life. Tomorrow is two days from now is the last day I get a check from David C. Cook. And for the next month, I will be on the great ranks of the unemployed. But we know, we're pretty sure it won't last for long because I have signed a teaching contract at Judson College. And the timing was just terrific in that area. We had decided I needed to do something different. The hours I was putting in were just, were very long. And I didn't think they were right for my family or for the contribution I could make to the assembly here. And so we decided that, hey, I need to change. I need to do something differently and, have a different occupation. And, I will tell you in a few minutes that the timing was just great for it. We had decided to make the change and then the phone rang and, somebody said, you have a master's degree. I said, yeah, I have a master's degree. Great, I recommended you for it. Next morning, hello, this is Harold. You have a master's degree. Yeah? Great, come on out and see me tomorrow. So that was the process. And within a week, I had been offered a position. And we were sure that was an answer to God's prayer, or to our prayer to the Lord. And so we're very happy about it. It's a new opportunity. It's obviously sometimes a nail biter because I'm going to have to prepare every day now instead of maybe once every 2 or 3 or 4 months. But we'll find out what happens. But one thing my son-in-law said, well, Mr. Mao, there's one thing for sure. The students won't get out on time. Or they won't get out early anyhow. And so I just laughed. But you know, I've told you I have this real problem with time. And I tried to think of what I would speak about today. Ed Marshall, when he called me, said, Paul, do something that is natural. Do something that comes out of your work, comes out of what you do. He said, those are sometimes the most effective sermons. And I thought, well, he was talking about doing something from the Bible. But, you know, when I do something talking about how to use the Bible or something, Phil Comfort intimidates me. See, you know, he really knows how to study John, you know, and I'm just sort of a layman going to an amateur. And I thought about Ecclesiastes. I've really been challenged by Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is basically a book for midlife people in their 40s. And, you know, it's surprising as I've started to learn to wear glasses, I suddenly discovered that all my friends were getting wrinkles on their faces. I could suddenly see them better. But then one day I looked in the mirror and I had my glasses on. I said, oh, no, that same thing's happened to me. I decided not to do Ecclesiastes. And I thought of pride. I was going down to CBA, and one thing you're impressed at the Christian Booksellers Association, or maybe depressed about, is the amount of pride that can run through either being an accomplished author or being the publisher of a bestseller. It's there. It's under the surface. And truly, they're books about God's kingdom and God's work, but it is a really tough job for publishers and authors to remain humble. And then I thought about envy, and I'm preparing for teaching. And one of the courses is advertising. Well, what does advertising want you to do? It wants you to be dissatisfied with your life. It wants you to make a change in your life. It wants you to be unhappy about something you have and to take part of your life, which is your money. That money represents your time. Take that and give it to somebody in exchange for something that you really want. And I thought about that, but this thing about God's timing has really impressed me. And so today, I thought, well, being part of... being very interested in the Christian Ed aspect here, I will probably do some object lessons. I have a watch here, and a second watch, and a third watch. It's a little mermaid watch, and a fourth watch, and a fifth watch, and a sixth one, and a seventh one. You've probably never seen one like this before, and an eighth one, and ninth one, a tenth, and 11. And besides, since everything good comes in 12s, a 12th watch, and this is set for 12 o'clock, folks, so it will go off at 12. You can relax. We'll come back to that in a minute. What we want to do is today, I want you to remember when you go out of here, and all week, you put your watch on in the morning, and you take it off, sometime during the day, I want you to remember every day this week that God is the creator of all time. God is the finisher of all time. And because he's the master of all time, our times are wonderfully in his hands. First of all, the creator of all time. Have you ever thought about before the beginning? I find it really difficult. Everything I know has a beginning. Everything. And I read in Omni magazine a discussion about time and about God. And one man said, in the last 400 years, science has climbed the mountain trying to find the beginning of the universe, only to discover that the theologians are already sitting on top of the mountain. And Einstein, for all his brilliance, could not fathom a beginning of the universe. He said, it had to be solid state. And everybody said, no, your theories prove that there is a beginning. He just couldn't take it. He could not believe it. Concept is really difficult for me to understand. And I think that I have to acknowledge that the God who, it was God who created the man who created the watch. All these watches are made by man. God created the man who made the watch. And for brevity, I won't read from Omni magazine, but if you get a chance, if you want to borrow it from me, Omni is the magazine of science, and it talks this month, August, about the search for God. And they quote the science who say, you know, no matter what we want to do, we can tell you what happened the first 2 minutes of the universe. We can tell you from solid state physics how the universe began. But we just can't go beyond. And so the whole article is, can you prove there is a God? Well, sure. We who believers can prove there is a God, can't we? But it's not the scientific proof that the scientists are looking at. And they have to admit that they're probably going to have to get outside of their normal sequencing in order to believe that there is a God. Okay, God is the beginning of time, and we have to believe that. If you don't believe that today, you've got to rethink your theology. But we also believe that God is the finisher of all time. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, I have thought about this connection which all the various kinds of work God has given mankind. Everything is appropriate in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. God has planted eternity in our hearts. And I can believe that I will never die. I can believe that my soul will live forever, and I'm sure most of you have too. And obviously the blessings of the comfort of the blessed hope, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it talks about it. Now, dear brothers, I want you to know what happens to a Christian when he dies. So when it happens, you will not be full of sorrows as those of you who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and then came back to life again, we can also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him all the Christians who have died. I can tell you this directly from the Lord, that we who are still living when the Lord, and you know the rest of the verses. time will be no more. And we also know that time is not a consequence of the Lord. In 1 Peter, Peter writes, "But don't forget this, dear friends, that a day or 1,000 years from now is like what? Tomorrow to the Lord." Okay. Time is not in essence. When we've been there 1,000 years, bright shining as the sun, what's the rest of it? Days to sing his praise when we first begun. Right. Time is not part of God's criteria, but we do know he is the master of time. And because God, the creator and the finisher of time, he is the master of time. Look at Jesus. And you can read in Galatians where the apostle says, "Before the beginning of time, God had this plan. Then at the right moment, at the right time, he sent Jesus." And we know the timing was right. The world was right. Rome was the right system for keeping peace, but for creating the tensions of within the land. And the Jews were ready for the Messiah, and the world was ready for the Messiah. It was exactly the right time. God had control of that time. And it wasn't a coincidence. You look at some of the great coincidences in the Old Testament. Joseph in the pit. And who came by at the right time? The train of slave traders. They took him. Where'd they take him? They didn't take him to some other country. They took him to Egypt, where he needed to be in Egypt. And the timing on that was just right. Abraham tried to beat the timing sometimes. He knew God was going to give him inheritance, and he tried to do a little scheming and a little playing around, but then he learned. He went to Egypt and he learned that he had a son, and this wasn't in God's timing. He had to learn those lessons that God's timing was right. And David came by at the right time to hear the giant, and that changed the whole course of Hebrew history. Now, I'm sure you have some coincidences in your life, and in just a minute, we're going to ask you to, maybe a few of you, to share those times when things came out just right. And it gave you the confidence that in God's timing, things came out right. Now, we need to be able to tell each other about these things, about these times, so that during the times when everything is terrible, and when we say, "Oh Lord, you know, this is a terrible time," we have to realize that God is still the master of time. So I'm going to ask a few of you in just a few minutes to relay a few of those times. But meanwhile, you're saying, "Okay, the watch." Paul, you talked about what? God is the what of time? The creator of time. Everybody said, God is the creator of time. And God's the finisher of time. God is the finisher of time. And then the third word is, God is the master of time. Right. Well, I obviously am not. And I have all these watches here. And some of them mean something, and some of them don't. But as I look at it, every watch here has a story to tell me. And for example, there is a watch here, this watch here. It was actually the cat's meow at the time. Did you ever have one of these watches that was self-winding? Remember? And if you wanted to mix up your watch, or wanted to wind your watch, they said, "Shake your time, shake something, you know," and then you get your watch going, and it would go forever. And I almost died for a watch like this. Today, what does it mean? When I look at this watch, I mean, it tells me that the things I really desire at one time in my life may not be the things that really count. Here's a watch with Santa on it. Watch reminds me of some of the great times we've had at the season. And I can think back of this event and that event when when the times the family got together and warm times, friendly times, wonderful times, times with those who are no longer with us, and times before some of those that are with us still were not here. But it is a remembrance, a reminder of times that are wonderful and warm. And it also reminds me of the importance of making the memories. And so I can look at this watch and say, you know, Paul, you're busy and you think, hey, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do this work. Maybe I need to stop and do something with the girls. Because later in life, I'm going to remember those times. They're going to remember those times. Here's my current watch. And you can see that it is in disrepair. I need a new handle on it. I need a new watch band. It's a little wet now because it did also drop in the glass of water. But what does this remind me? All of our lives need the careful attention. We have to, if I don't fix this little problem, I'm going to have a major problem and I won't have the watch anymore. And it's that way with our relationship with Christ. We need to keep our relationship with Christ sealed. We need to keep it right. We need to keep it mended. Here's another watch. It's a fad watch. Hey, it's a Little Mermaid watch, folks. How many of your kids have Little Mermaid watches? Hey, listen, by the time they're ready for watches, the Little Mermaid probably won't be around anymore. By the way, the lady who did the voice for the Little Mermaid is a wonderful Christian. Her story is in Christian Reader this last month. So if you get a chance, read it. But this is a fad watch, you know? Things come, things go. Life sometimes is like that. Here's a watch that came from the Soviet Union. This used to be the property of a paratroop officer. Has the paratroop on it. Also has a picture of Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space. This watch reminds me that no matter how much we may think about our systems and our societal organizations, they too shall pass. This is a watch. A watch? Yes. Put this in, load the program, and it keeps track of what I do. But you know who's responsible for what I do? Not this. It's me. And when I look at this disc, I remember that I get to make the decisions on how I'm going to use my time. In the importance of talking to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, how can I invest my time today? I only have today. Today is the only day I have that will be today. Lord, help me to use my time right. This is a watch that Rob spent his Christmas money on. And it's more than a watch. It tells you how fast you've gone. It tells you the miles. He puts it on his bicycle and it tells him he's gone 26 miles an hour and he works a little harder to get up to 30 and goes down a hill and maybe can get 33 or 34. He hasn't gone 50 yet. He says there aren't big enough hills to go. But, this reminds me, too, that in my middle age, life goes very fast. And sometimes it's difficult for me. I don't want to think of how fast I'm going. But I do go fast sometimes. And sometimes, hey, Rob, you need to slow down. Sometimes I need to slow down. This is a digital watch. But unfortunately, it says it's 11:56. And sometimes our times are wrong. We are just in the wrong time. We're out of sync. We're not doing the things we should. And you know, this watch tells me is that I need to keep sensitive to the Lord. Because with Him, I can make it, almost done, folks. I can be sensitive to God's timing, not just my own timing. And there are a few more watches here. This is a watch that needs a new battery. And like the watch that needs to be fixed, this battery needs a new battery. And we need to take time out. The scriptures tell us to spend time with the Lord and recharge our batteries. And we do know from vacations too. I accepted an invitation to go next week to take a vacation with a friend of ours. And I said, oh, all these things I have to do. I'm going to teach at Judson. I've got to get ready for it. I've got two projects I have to finish. And then as I thought about the right use of my time, and the time to build memories and the time to recharge the batteries, I said, well, okay, I'll do it. But that means I'll work day and night this week to be able to get ready for vacation, right? As we give things to our children, this was given to me by my father-in-law. He's no longer here. He is in heaven. He's with Jesus. But as I look at it, I remember the things he has given me. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about the things of value, the things really count, the things of spiritual learning, his care and kindness and consideration for others. These are the things that I can give to my children. I can give to my grandchildren, should I live that long, and should we have grandchildren. And they're the things that I can give to other people. I can give them memories. And then this last watch here is probably an antique. It was given to my grandfather when he left the German army, way, way before the turn of the century. And it doesn't mean very much to you all, an old watch, but to me, there is a lot of memory. And you're saying, okay, what does that mean? That means to me that I should remember the lessons of the past so that I can live better for the lessons of the future. Well, there's nothing profound here in these watches, folks, except that some work and some don't work, and most of them I'm not going to wear. I'm not going to wear this one, and I'm not going to wear the one that doesn't work, and the one that has a band I need to fix and everything. But who is the master of time? Not Paul now. The master of time is God. He is the one that can help me control my time. He is the one who can help me use the time that I have wisely. I don't like the chronographs, the things that are calendars. Oh, I like them because it's fun to play with the dots and that sort of thing. But it also tells me that the days are going, and I don't like that. God's timing in our lives. Are there times when God has, at the right time, done the right time for you? Let me just tell you one story. And we were in Colorado, and we were getting ready to go and be missionaries, get a missionary salary. And Barb said, you know, we don't have enough money. She said, we have enough money now. If something happens, the car gets fixed. What happens if something happens to the car in 3 weeks from now? We won't have enough. And she stewed and thought about it, and, you know, she worried about it. And sure enough, she shouldn't have said that, because sure enough, something happened to the car, right? Transmission went. Oh, how could it go? Well, it was going to cost a lot of money to fix transmission. And all week long, on each of the 5 days, she complained and thought about it and struggled with it. And finally she came to the place where she said, okay, God, I will believe you that you will provide the money when we need it. I don't need it now, but when we need it. And then I went to the post office, and we were in the process of moving, getting out of the Air Force and going to Christian Service Brigade. I opened the post office box, and out came this letter. And you know, there was a check in there for more than we needed. And that was the day that I went to pick up the car. Now, the beauty of that was not that I got the check, although that was a wonderful beauty to us. The beauty was that I had the wrong zip code on and gone out to Colorado before it came to Colorado Springs. And so I'd taken a whole week to get there. What if the check had come before the car needed repair? We've been happy with the check. But we wouldn't have been reminded of God's timing to us. It came just at the right time. And after Barb had gained the victory of faith. And this last year has been a struggle sometimes economically for us. And Barb's job, Barb's part-time job, came to an end. And as the people were packing up the car, taking the things from our family room and putting it into the back of the car, and this was a monthly paycheck that was leaving. The business was ended. We knew it was going to end, and it finally ended. And here they were. People were taking it and just ready to close the lid on the car. Somebody else walks up the driveway. Says, "I think we just felt you'd be needing this." Gives Barb an envelope. What's in the envelope? Check for the same amount of money as the one you got in Colorado. Is that coincidence, dear? No. It's God saying, "I am the master of timing." Now, some of you are struggling. Some of you say, "Where is that check when I need it?" And you're having to do hard things because you don't have the money. And I tell you this not to make you envious or jealous or anything like that. I tell you this to say that God is truly the master of timing. Is there somebody who has a story they're dying to tell us? I know that our time is gone. I'd love to hear your stories. I'm sorry it took so long on the introduction. Is there somebody who has somebody or a couple people who just have a story to tell us of God's timing in their life? God's timing. That's wonderful. To somebody else? Think about this week, and if you get a chance, if you think about a story, you will remember it and tell us again, okay? Or share it with somebody. Just say, "I got to tell you what God has done." You know, sometimes times are very difficult. One of these watches came from my father. And my mother has struggled these last 10 years being a widow. But the one thing she never struggles with is the fact that God, in this case, wonderfully told her that Dad's time was up. I told you this story before, but I want to tell you this again so you'll remember that our times, because God is the master of all time, our times are wonderfully in His hand. Dad was a preacher, loved to preach. And after his heart attack and operation, it took him about a year to get better. And he started feeling better. He said, "Lord, give me the speaking engagements that I can do. Don't give me too many, and don't give me too few." And he and Mom prayed about it. You know, every single Sunday, from then on, including the Sunday before he died, he had a speaking engagement. But you know what? He didn't have a thing scheduled for the Sunday after you die from then on. What does mom know? Mom knows that God is the master of all time. God knows that He has not forgotten her either. You know what, folks? God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten me. This has been for me, it's a strange way of teaching. Some object lessons, not very much exposition in the Bible. But I do want you to remember, when you look at your watch this week, think of a lesson that God has for you. Remember that God is the creator. Remember that God is the finisher. And God is the master of our time. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that all time is in your hands. Help us to use our time every day, every week, wisely. For you, Father, we pray that we may use our time for your kingdom. Thank you that you are the creator of time, you are the finisher of time, and as the master of time, we are wonderfully in your hands. Thank you that there is a time for everything. In Jesus' name.